go ahead and go to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1 this evening. Good to have visitors with us tonight. Glad that you're here with us. I hope you enjoy yourself. Men, don't forget the men's retreat coming up in April also. We need to get it signed up if you're going, so I can let them know how many's going. There's still time, so please sign up so I can let them know this week who all would be going to that. That'd be a blessing if you could do that. I was reading a little article today by David Howe. He said about late hits. He used the analogy of football. You know, after the play is over and dead, the whistle blows, someone comes in and they hit you late, it's a penalty. It's malicious. It's done to bring pain and hurt. And it's like sometimes that's how we as Christians act. After someone falls into sin, we run up and do a late hit on it. And intentionally hurt, bring pain, suffering to already the wrongdoing. And as I was reading it, I thought about this, just something that came to my mind. Many times I've noticed when that happens, is the same person that runs up with the late hit saw them headed into error and never, ever blew a whistle, a warning, a flag. But you know, that's called the sin of silence. So you're doubling your sin when you late hit them. If you see somebody going down the wrong road, dear friend, it's going to be easy to just slip up beside them, tell them you love them, God loves them, and the actions they're about to get involved in is going to be hurtful and harmful and painful to them. And encourage them to not get involved in that. Now, if they go ahead and do it, you're clear. But you sit back and just watch, 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 and as soon as they fall and falter, you run upon them. That's not good godly actions there. So let's be careful with that, okay? And let me preference this. People that are in sin, they don't always receive words of wisdom with grace. So when you reach out, you have to understand something. Their reaction may not be as nice and kind as it should be. Not always. Some people generally just don't realize. They really don't. And so, you know, just thought I'd throw that in as a little freebie tonight. Genesis 1:1, 50 chapters in the book of Genesis. Genesis begins with life, and the very last verses talk about death. Joseph is dead. He challenged them to please carry his bones up out of Egypt. So it's a different book. So I believe for the next however long, we shall be parked in the book of Genesis every Sunday evening. So, can you imagine if it took us 6 months to do Philippians, how long it might get us to get through here. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now this is the introduction to the book of Genesis. We'll get into it and look around at a few things before we start going through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Now, Moses was the human writer of the book of Genesis. If you go to Luke chapter number 24, Luke chapter number 24, verse number 27, Luke 24, 27. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, the human writer. 24:27, the book of Luke, and the beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. This is Jesus talking. He went all the way back there to Moses, the writing of Moses. Look over in verse 44 of the same chapter. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. 2 Peter chapter number 1. So Moses being the human writer, we have to understand something. He is just the instrument. All scripture is given of God, and it's profitable. It's given of God, so it's profitable. For 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, the Holy Spirit of God is the author using men. Look what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so, human authors, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Holy Spirit used these people as human instruments, allowing them to keep their character and their personality, and allowing them to, use their everyday lifestyle in writing, but it is God-breathed. Now, the purpose of this here is, Mike, that we, the books of the Bible, and especially Genesis, is that it helped us to understand the creation, because we weren't there. Look with me in the book of Job, Job chapter number 38. We were not there. That's why it's so amazing to me, these folks that come up with this date system. Well, we know that rock there is 1,572,000 years old. How do you know that? Nobody was there to tell you. Somebody was here to tell us. Somebody was here. Now, Job chapter 38, if you would, verse number 6. Job 38, verse number 6. For he said to the snow, be thou on earth. Likewise, to the small rain and to the great rain in strength, he sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. We wouldn't know without the word of God, the work of God. So God used human men, and the purpose of this here, that we might know the history of God's creation, and not only know the history, but the angels witness it is there, so as we might know his work. So that's the whole purpose of this book. And then, like any other book, it's given to us that we might learn spiritual lessons. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter number 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 6. Remember, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 6. The Bible says, now these things are examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. These things, the Bible is written. If you go up and you look at verse 2, it's actually talking about Moses. We're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. So these was written so that we'd have a good understanding. Look also at verse number 11 in this chapter. Now all these things happened unto them, talking about those of the Old Testament, happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the Old Testament books, all the Bible for that matter, was written, but we're looking at Genesis tonight, and so the purpose of the book of Genesis is that we might learn some spiritual lessons that might keep us from falling, might help us down the road with our faith. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, Genesis is a book of beginnings. If you were to go back and label them and look them, mark them down, there are seven special beginnings in the book of Genesis. It's the beginning of all of material universe, which we know in chapter number one. Then there's the beginning of the human race in chapters one and two. The beginning of sin in chapter number three. There's the beginning of redemption, chapter three, verse number 15. There's the beginning of all nations in Genesis chapter number 10. The beginning of the Hebrew nation in Genesis chapter number 12. And the beginning of a life by faith and through faith in Genesis chapter 3, after around verse number 21. And so there's the beginnings there in the book of Genesis. And the book of Genesis is a great book. It refutes all kind of false teachings and false narratives that come about. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. And when it states that, when it says in the beginning, God, it destroys all kind of false systems. Like what, Pastor? Like atheism. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the universe and everything there is that we see. How about polytheism? In the beginning, God. He didn't look around and say, hey, Lukey, what do you think we should do? How about, hey, Belle, won't you help me out here? What do you think should be going on right now? In the beginning, God.
Amen.
Ain't there been a bunch of many gods? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. How about fatalism? Oh, just everything happened by chance. In the beginning, God. It wasn't by accident. God stood out in the beginning of nothing. Because He was, and in the beginning, God. What, by faith? Not by faith at all. How about evolutionism? God, dear friend, God, His actions as creator, denies an infinite beginning. Well, it just keeps happening. In the beginning, God created them. Dear friend, it was this. When He said, let there be a chicken, there was a chicken. There wasn't no egg. It rolled around on earth for 450 billion years until it bumped up against a rock. It was a chicken, full-grown chicken, that laid eggs afterwards. With a rooster that fertilized the egg. And then out come the little chicks. That's God's way. God didn't need thousands of millions and hundreds of thousands of years and eons of time to help Him do anything. It refutes evolutionism. It refutes, dear friend, pantheism, which means God is separate from creation. This New Age stuff and this Buddhism and Hinduism and all this New Age stuff which says that tree is a God? Oh, no. Genesis tells us God put the green plants on this earth. He is separate from creation. So it refutes that there. In the book of Genesis chapter number 1, there's a Hebrew word that's used three times only in this chapter. Bara, B-A-R-A. And it's used three times, and it literally means created out of nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. God didn't call over to Amazon and say, listen, y'all deliver me a handful of dirt and get it delivered by drone. He didn't need help. It was out of nothing. That's the God we serve. So the book of Genesis refutes all these false teachings. This is why, dear friend, this world does not want to believe in a literal creation. It discounts God.
Right.
Discounts God. God's stamp of perfection is all in Genesis chapter number 1. The word good is mentioned 7 times. The word made mentioned 7 times. Heaven is mentioned seven times. Seven is the number of God. God is referred to 35 times in the book of Genesis. I take your time sometimes to go there in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and circle every time it mentions God. And it mentions God 35 times. Seven is also God's number because it's the number of perfection, but five is the number of grace. Seven times five is 35. Isn't that amazing? There's seven different activities in the book of in creation in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, if you look in verse number 2, the Bible says there, and the Spirit of God moved the activity of the Holy Spirit in creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3, you have the activity of the Word calling light into existence. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. He spoke the Word, and it happened. In verses 6 through 9, you have the activity of making of the firmaments. In verse number 11, in chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, you have the activity of God speaking and the vegetation there and was. In verses 14 through 19, you have the activity of God arranging the heavenly bodies and putting them in their place. In verses 21 through 24, you have the activity of storing up of waters where God separated the firmament and put waters where He wanted it to be, and it's been there ever since. In verses 20 through 27, you have the activity of the stocking of the earth, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and the animals, and then life given to man. You know, Adam was a full-grown man when he was created. God didn't create no little bitty baby down in the earth. He created a full-grown man, breathing him nostril life. This is how God operates. God operates. And if you think about sciences, I'm not a scientist. Science is pretty interesting to me. If I was to look back and get my report card out, that's probably one of them that I made at least a low C in. The rest was D's and somewhere else down the range. But anyways, science, I was pretty good. I really, really enjoyed it. It was kind of interesting to me. But if you look in the book of Genesis, you'll find the five elements of true science. There's matter. You got the earth. Well, how did you hear? God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, you have energy. Where's that energy? God spoke. God spoke. You have time. In the beginning. Time's a part of the element of science. You had force. The Spirit moved. The Spirit moved. You have space. Heavens. So right in the book of Genesis, dear friend, you have the five elements of science. Now, the date of the writings is somewhere in the vicinity of about 4,000 B.C., creation age. And like I said, Adam was a full-grown man when he was created. Somewhere above 6,000 to 6,500 years, probably now, maybe even a little bit more than that. But different. I promise you, it ain't much more than right around 6'5", 6'8", somewhere around in there is all the time frame this earth got. That's it. I know some of you are like, Pastor done got sick, got rocked on his rocker, and he's just gone crazy. I've been told for a long time, this thing's millions and millions of years around here. You've been told a lie because they're trying to discount God. You've been told something to bring doubt upon the absolute Word of God. God is creator. I mean, He is. Verses 1 and 2, if you look there, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God is the Creator because He is before all things. He is before all things. He's the cause of all things. He is the explanation of all things. Look with me over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Not only is he the cause of all things, the explanation of all things, dear friend, he is the control of the destiny of all things. God, in the beginning, you have the birth of time, birth of matter, the revelation of God to men and to the human race. Creation was a singular act of God. He didn't strung it along and help it come along. When he said it, it was. And it is. He created all as we know and see and experience on this heaven and earth. It has not evolved. Like some theologians who say there's a great space between a couple of verses there. Well, I don't know how they found it. They weren't there. No great space. Do you theologians here help me? What do they call that term? What's that term?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Y'all heard of it, haven't you? The gap there. Where's the gap? Gaps between their ears. No gap. In the English language, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. And it didn't move down 14 verses. Verse 2 came right up after it, didn't it? Ain't that amazing? And the earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the earth, the face of the deep, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Dot, 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 dot. Oh, no, period. God said, let there be light. No gap. You know what happens? We as God's people try to conform our minds and thoughts and get the Word of God to conform around us when we should conform to the Word of God.
Amen.
That's where we come up with this foolishness of gaps. Oh, Pastor, you're being ugly. I know. I feel a little bit ill and under weather. When you get ill and under weather, all you want to do is pull the covers up your ears. And if not, you become grouchy. You know what verse 1, without any other better explanation, verse 1 just assumes a whole bunch, don't it? This is where the beginning of our Bible begins, and it just assumes the being of God. If there's something better to say, I don't know. It just, in other words, God just is. There's no assumption. But I mean, you can put it like that. It assumes the eternity of God. Why? In the beginning, God. Like, where did this God just come up from? Just like, maybe he showed up right there in church. No, he's eternal. He's just eternal. The power of God. In the beginning, God created. I mean, that's the power of God. The sovereignty of God. I mean, it's right here. I mean, he didn't fool around with any of Thor's and you know, all these other gods, Baal and the Beelzebub and these Viking gods that they had swimming around in their minds. He didn't communicate with them. In the beginning, God created. Because he's sovereign. He didn't holler over at the council of the angels and the seraphims and the cherubims I don't know what I called them other guys. Seraphims and cherubims. He didn't call over there and say, hey guys, what do y'all think I should do on day 4? Well, none of that, because he's the sovereign God of the universe. I mean, he's sovereign. The infinite wisdom and the essential goodness of God is all right here in Genesis chapter number 1. the human body. It's the most intricate machine that could ever be made. Doesn't compare. I mean, all these other ones, that doesn't compare to the human body. But by accident, dear friend, it's caused the wisdom of God. Atheism shows, is shown as a hoax if you believe God in Genesis and the absolute authority of the Word of God on the 6 days of creation, and God took a rest on the seventh day. Man still struggling. Still fighting along and trying to gather up some things and fix some things. Look in Psalms chapter number 19. Ladies, this here and this alone ought to convince you that there is no such thing as evolutionism. Your honey-do list since you got married has evolved, and man is still struggling to get it complete. Still struggling. If evolution was true, sometime along the way, it would just have fixed itself. Paint would have just jumped up out of the bucket, run up there and got on that wall. That's kind of silly. So is an amoeba turning into a human? Psalms 19, verse number 1. Psalms chapter 19, verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, not our language, where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words are in the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1. Verse number 20. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world were clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You take the Bible, dear friend, and you look at it, and it's absolute, and you say it's the authority of God. Quit questioning it here and there and yonder. That's why we have all these versions running around here. Just pick the version you like. There's 60,000 words missing out of some of them versions. There's complete whole verses that are just gone. And they don't even disguise it or hide it. You'll go down there, you'll be reading along, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 7. That's that Common Core math, I'm telling you. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 7. What happened to verse 6? They just did away with it. And you know what they're saying to you? You have one of those Bibles, you're reading around in that stuff, you know what they're saying to you? They're smarter than God. That's what they're saying to you. And they're saying that you're too... Oh, be nice, buddy. You're too... Man, you're just too silly to understand. So they had to take that out. So that you can understand. Oh, God, help us. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. We're almost done, folks. Y'all bear with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 3. Through faith, We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Tell you something, friends. The story of creation matters.
Amen.
It matters. I do believe with all my heart, with all my soul, dear friend, if we can get to this one point as humans, realizing that life is from God, that be no question about this here, this thing called abortion. It would be done away with. Because life is of God. In the womb, God knew. If we can get to the point as a society and quit fooling around and playing games, and get back to understand the Word of God is absolute. And when God said it's better for a person to have a millstone tied around their neck, thrown in the sea, for harming one of these little ones, there'd be no more question about it.
Right.
The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It says it was without form. That's kind of unique, isn't it? Let's look back over there. Let's look back over in Genesis chapter number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens, the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form. The initial formation of the materials that God created, the heavens and the earth, they were without form. That's what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I mean, it was not yet shaped. What does that tell me? That tells me that all the matter in the world is useless without God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and it was void. Also, it just almost reminds me of the dead soul of humans. We're dead in trespass and sin.
Amen.
Without form and void. Without form. Listen. Without God, our minds are without form and void. And this is where you can have all the education you want, have all the learning, and have all the books. You remove God, dear friend. And all you have is earthly carnal wisdom that will end you up nowhere. Oh, you have all kinds of things. I mean, you can fly out to the moon. You can walk around on the moon. You can create rockets and ships and submarines. You can go down to the depths of the waters. But whenever life is over, without God, you're back in darkness. In hell, where it's darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. It was without form. It was void. God began to work. The Spirit of God moved. And before you know it, when creation is over, we have the beauty of what we know as the earth today.
Amen.
When a man or woman trusts Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, before they were dead, trespassing sins, they were void, they were without form. But the Spirit of God moved and moved in. And the same results, what we enjoy as earth, look with me in Genesis chapter 1 and I think verse number 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, listen what He said. It was very good.
Amen.
And when God gets done working on us as His children, we were dead, trespassed sin, we were without form, we were void, we were chaotic. When the Spirit of God moved in, the peace of God would pass through all understanding, and we are now a new creation in Christ. And when he gets done working, dear friend, we'll have a body likened unto his. You know what he wants to tell us? You know what God's desire is when he calls us home and we meet him? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. When he finished creation, it was very good. That's what God wants to work on us. Genesis, book of beginnings. God adds light and life to our soul when we're born again. Just like he did in creation. He was born without void, but when he began to add this and add that, he finished up on day six. He said, very good. There's going to be for the next, Lord only knows how long, in the book of Genesis. That was one verse. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night, for the work that you've done in our lives. We thank you for the Word of God that we can look in it, we can study. God, I know it seems simple. It seems archaic if you was to ask the wisdom and the thought of the day. Masters of knowledge and wisdom today are human and carnal. But Lord, when we ask you, it was good. Lord, your word is needful. God, help us have a good grasp and understanding of your word and creation from the very foundation, that we may learn from it and not be hoodwinked. Thank you, Lord, for this evening, for the folks who come out. Bless choir practice as we follow. Give everybody safety as they travel back home. In Jesus' name, amen.